are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen and amen. I hope you had a good weekend, and hope that you were serving the Lord. I hope you were in church. I hope you were rejoicing in the Lord and singing God's hymns and praises and all that good stuff. Hopefully you can hear me okay. I'm thinking it's coming in okay. But praise the Lord. We had a very busy weekend. I was running around doing all kinds of different things. A lot of pastoring this week, which is important, by the way. But a lot of that to the flock and to the sheep of the Lord, and to be around and to be available. So to help others that need it. And that's a lot of what you see here when you see me ministering online and preaching and doing those things. That's one aspect of the ministry. Preaching is not pastoring, although preaching includes pastoring is included in preaching because of how that works. But anyway, so it's been interesting to say the least, but busy times right now. Heading into busier times, this Saturday night, we will preach at the Steele County Fair, Lord willing. And the good sheriff of the Steele County Fair, or the Steele County, was there last time. Well, not last time, but this is my encounter with the good sheriff of Steele County.
Tape and everything. We have a place where you can do this.
Okay.
All the way down Diamond 1. So I need to have you go down there.
There's a place for you to go down there.
Just come over here and I'll show you.
Okay.
There's a place for you to go down there. We provided a place for you down there. There's a place for you to go down there. We allow you to protest down there. There's a place for you to go to down there. Well, anyway. There, in fact, was a place for me to go down there. And it was far down there. It was so far down there that there was nobody there. 7 years ago. 7 years ago. Can you believe it? It's been 7 years. Did I make it to the gay pride event in your area? Yes, we made it to the one in Northfield, and we made it to the big one and got chased out of Minneapolis by psychopath, crazy, devil-possessed, lunatic sodomites. That's what happened. And no police around to help us. Just the good Lord above to keep us from being demolished and torn apart by psychopath, crazy, sodomite, devil-possessed people. But anyway. And yes, we do have it all on video. And the police were nowhere to be found, but that's Minneapolis for you. They're the same people that stick their knee on people's necks and kill them. And by the way, even if you're a devil-possessed drug addict, no one should stick a knee on your neck when you're not moving and kill you. Just so you know. Anyway, but satanic psyops, right? Maybe I'll talk about another one of those. You know, I really need to talk about this latest Trump. Not today. How about we do it Wednesday? Should we? Shall we talk about the latest Trump psyop, Trump FBI psyop? Should we talk about that? I'm sorry to hear that your daughter died. So we'll save that for Wednesday. See, with anything, there's some truth to everything that's going on. And there's a reason to defend the narrative. Understand that. But we'll get let's save that. Let's save that for Wednesday. I don't want to muddy the waters here today with that garbage when we're talking about something so wonderful as heaven today. Right? We definitely don't want to muddy the waters with those things. Gideon Knox says there was a gay pride event in your area this past weekend. Okay. No, I did not go to that. I don't go to every gay pride event that's out there. When we have time, we go. If we feel led of the Lord, we go. But we don't go to all of them. Rider on the Storm, where do you live exactly? So anyway, So you pray for us. We will start the Steele County Fair this weekend, this Saturday. We'll preach there one night at the Steele County Fair. The very next weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, State Fair. I believe that's the next weekend. I'm pretty sure it is. We will be preaching at the State Fair. Outside of the State Fair, handing out thousands of gospel tracts, preaching to hundreds of thousands of people over the course of 2 weeks. So, we'll have banners out there. We'll have gospel tracts. We'll have preachers. We will have the Half Mile Hailer. So, boy, that coffee's good. So, this starts a busy time. And then in September, we move right along in September to the defeat of Jesse James days. And yes, Northfield's favorite son. Northfield's favorite son will come home to preach at the defeat of Jesse James days to the pleasure of the entire Northfield area. To the pleasure of the Northfield Police Department. To the pleasure of all of the people. Actually, for the glory of God. But anyway. That is a... I wish I could get some more preachers here for that event. Men that I agreed with scripturally. And for them to come down and hand out tracts and to preach with us. Because you couldn't have enough preachers. You just couldn't. We'll be broadcasting live, Lord willing, live from the defeat of Jesse James days. So, in other words, it's about to get real. Real, real. And we are going to be some busy people. So you pray for us because Satan hates us. And the devil goes after the church when we do this. The devil goes after, he'll try to provoke arguments between people. He'll try to discourage people from preaching. He'll try to discourage us from faithfulness. So, we got to be prayed up. You got to pray for us. We just printed 10,000 tracts. I think. I forgot what event it's for, though. Anyway, but we did. And we're developing some new banners. I don't support those people that go up there and say those things. By the way, women shouldn't be up there preaching anyway. Men are called to preach. Period. So, anyway, that'll make some people mad. That'll make some of them Jezebel-loving people mad, won't it? That'll make some folks mad. It's all right. I like making them charismatics mad at me. I appreciate it. I like making them mad. They got so mad at me last year. Two of them, this big guy came up to me, said he's going to knock my head off. Boy, he got mad at me. Gideon Knox, those are not preachers. Those are false converts. They're not even saved people. They're lost and dead in their sins. All right. Well, we are going to talk about heaven now. And I have been blessed by the Way of Life Encyclopedia, and I don't get paid to say this or anything like this, but the Way of Life Encyclopedia is a blessing. You ought to download it. It's like, I think it's like $5 or $10 to download it. It's nothing. It's a blessing for sure. You can get the hardback copy if you want that. But I would support that. I would support Brother Jason, you might remember talking to me. I do not remember talking to you. I'm sorry. I talk to a lot of people at different times, and I don't. You'd have to refresh my memory. I was the Lone Ranger street preacher at times with my wife. Glenn Bledsoe came and joined me in street preaching. Just for the record, I'm not active with that crew. Okay. How do I know Glenn Bledsoe? How do I know him? So anyway, I would recommend that. And I've used it. I used the Way of Life for that separation series. I used that Way of Life encyclopedia for that. Most of that content came from him. And then obviously my ad libs and my extra things and my preaching and my illustrations and the things that God has brought me through are added to those things. But I make no mistake about teaching people and using good materials to help them. I don't have a problem with that. Whether it's Charles Spurgeon, whether it's Way of Life Encyclopedia, whether it's another, whether it's Benjamin Keach, whether it's, you know, Rider on the Storm, what you should do is contact me at PastorCooley@iCloud.com or at SalvationPreacher@gmail.com. Okay, do that or give me a call. You can text me or whatever, and then we can talk. Email me, and then I'll send you my phone number there. It's probably online anyway. I don't have a problem using good things to help people and using good outlines and good things to be a blessing to others. So let's get into this thing about 10 things you may not know about heaven. Shall we? Shall we talk about these things? I think they'll be a blessing to you. And I probably won't go in any absolute specific order, but people have questions sometimes about heaven. They have questions sometimes about what the Bible says about heaven. And the first thing that people may ask is, what is heaven like? Well, the Bible says that heaven, so the first question is, what is heaven like? We ought to know what heaven is like. Don't you, if you want to go there someday, you ought to have an idea what it's like. We'll turn to Psalm 20. It's Bible study time. Get in your Bibles now. Psalm 20, verse 6. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Heaven is a holy place. That's what heaven is. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Heaven's a holy place. It's a place of worship. Look at Revelation chapter 4. Look at this, verses 8 through 11. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 one for each of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You see that? Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat under the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Holy. 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 Heaven is a holy place. Heaven is a place of worship. Heaven is called paradise. You might wonder, what's heaven like? Well, the Bible gives us the answer. There's a lot more. Hey, you know what? There's a lot more about heaven there's a lot that the Bible does tell us about heaven that you and I have not really thought about. We've not slowed down. So today, we're just going to slow down and think about heaven. We're going to meditate on heaven today. We're going to meditate on the things of heaven. We got about an hour and a half. Man, I hope you can hang in there. Hey, preacher, you got to shorten these up. You know something? I got a problem. I just cannot shorten sermons up. And some people say, you're just too long-winded. Maybe so. And maybe I go to heaven and I got to answer for it. But I know this. If people can sit and watch television for 2 to 5 hours a day or 2 to 10 hours a day, they ought to be able to listen to God's word preached to them. Amen? I'm going to turn the air down in here. I'm hot. Hold on a second. All right, heaven, here we go. Let's keep talking about it. All right, it's a place of paradise. Heaven is a place of paradise. Look at Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, 43. Look at this. The Bible calls heaven paradise. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Amen. Paradise. 2 Corinthians 12, 4, we find out where heaven is. Right? It's up. Because paradise was taken up. Look at this. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise. And I heard unspeakable word and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul saw heaven. Paul saw paradise. Right? That's what he saw. He saw paradise. Revelation 2, 7, look at this. Here's another clue about paradise. You're going to learn some things about heaven today, putting your Bible caps on here. You're going to get your doctorate in the King James here. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. There you go. That's where the tree of life is. In the midst of the paradise of God. So what's in heaven? Man, what's there? All these questions, I say only 10, right? Man, there's more. Wait, there's more. We'll see how far we get. Maybe we'll have to do part two. Maybe we'll have to do part two. Wednesday, if I can't finish this, that'll be all right. Then we'll move the other one forward till Friday. That'll be all right, too. Hey, I don't mind doing that. It'll be fun. I think we'll enjoy it. By the way, I hope OPBC, our church members, listen to this. It'll help them. It's a good Bible study. Good things to dig into to learn about where we're headed, friend. Learn about where you're going. You think too much about where you are sometimes or where you've been sometimes and not enough about where you're going. Heaven is a place of spectacular beauty. Look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 2. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, one that sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Round about the throne were 24 seats. Look at that. And upon the seats were 24 elders. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Heaven is a spectacular place. absolutely spectacular. By the way, heaven is a place of mansions. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. Heaven is a place of mansions. Wonderful, beautiful mansions. There is no house on this earth that will be able to touch the beauty of heaven, of my home in heaven. Nothing. I like that song, Heaven is a Wonderful Place. Heaven is a glorious throne. There's a glorious throne in heaven like we just talked about. There are seven lamps of fire in heaven. Revelation 4, verse number 5, look at that. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Yes, precious blood's in heaven, by the way. The seven spirits, which are before the throne of God. The Bible talks about them. The seven lamps of fire. The glorious foundations and pavements. Look at verse number 6. And he hath made us kings and priests unto God. Whoops, I'm in Revelation chapter 1. I don't know what I'm doing. Reading off my notes and then read the Bible verse. Let's start over here, verse number 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Seven lamps of fire. Will do, transform saint, will do. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Beautiful seas of glass there. Glorious foundations and pavements. Look at Revelation 15. This is where we're heading, friend. We that are saved by the grace of God, that have been forgiven of our sins, cleansed of our unrighteousness. Look at verse 2. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Think about that. Think about the absolute beauty of that. Yes, the stones of fire are there. We're going to talk about those too. But think about that. The sea and the glass mingled with fire. The awe-inspiring beauty of that place. What a glorious throne with glorious mansions. By the way, with glorious music. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes and behind. And the first beast was like a lion. They sang, holy, holy, holy. Wonderful creatures that you and I can't even understand. Look at this. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. When those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast the crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 8:3 says there'll be angels flying around in heaven. Revelation 14:6. Look at this. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory. There they rest from all their labors, right? Look at verse 16. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in the sickle of the earth, and the earth was reaped. They're going to rest from their labors, friend. Look at this. Blessed are they that die. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And there we rest from all our labors. There we do. Seven lamps of fire, glorious foundations of pavements, wonderful creatures, glorious music, a golden altar of incense. Angels flying around. Do you ever think about heaven? Look at this. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. White horses. I know that heaven is a miraculous place, and that I will be completely changed when I get there. Do you want to know how? Let me tell you how. Let me tell you how. Because in heaven, I'll be perfect and I'll like horses. That's how I know. I'll be changed completely in heaven. The old sin nature completely eradicated and gone. And I'll actually like horses. That friend right there is an absolute miracle. Wonderful rivers, wonderful trees. Look at Revelation 22. And I showed me, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruits. There's trees in heaven, friend. There's trees. Trees. There's ivory palaces in heaven. You know, we sing that song, Out of the Ivory Palaces. I think it's, maybe I've got the right one here. Psalm 45, verse 8. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. The king's daughters were among thy honorable women, and upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. This is a picture of heaven. The ivory palaces. No queen on earth will ever be crowned. Like that. Like in heaven, like one of the daughters of the Lord that goes home to be with God. There is fullness of joy there. Look at that. They are among the honorable women. Glorious clothing. Look at verse 13 to 14. The king's daughters. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought into the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. The lovely fragrances, the fullness of joy, the glorious clothing. Heaven is a place of glory. 73, Psalm 73, 24. Look at that. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. The Lord Jesus is the Lord of glory. He will be there. Glory refers to the king's splendor and his wealth. Solomon in all his glory, right? Could not attain to the glory that awaits us in heaven. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Amen. Heaven is a place without any unpleasant things, where we will be relieved. We'll talk about that in another broadcast. Seven things that are not in heaven. We'll talk about some of these other things, so I'll move on to the next one. So, a good question. A good question to ask. Number two. That was number one. What is heaven like? Number two, what does the believer have in heaven? What awaits us? What do we have now in heaven? As Christians, as born-again believers, what do we have there? Luke chapter 10. Verse number 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Your names are written in heaven. You have a name written in heaven. I have a new name written down in glory. Our Father is there in heaven. We have a Father in heaven that is waiting for us. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, we have a Father in heaven. We have a mansion in heaven like we talked about. In my Father's house are many mansions. Our hope is in heaven. Colossians 1:5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel? Our hope, friend, is in heaven. Our hope's in heaven. Our master is in heaven. Jesus Christ. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. My friend, my Lord is in heaven. My master is in heaven. He rules my life. My steps are ordered by him. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. My master is in heaven. And someday the master will call me home. Someday he will say it's time to go home. We have a better and an enduring substance in heaven. Hebrews chapter 10. I love the book of Hebrews. Man, do I love the book of Hebrews. I absolutely. You know what? The Hyper D's don't like Hebrews. They try to say that the book of Hebrews isn't for them. All these other people try to do. I'm telling you what, the book of Hebrews is so absolutely wonderful. Look what the Bible says here. For you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. We have a better and an enduring substance in heaven. The blood of the new covenant is in heaven. Hebrews 12:24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Amen. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, the blood of the new covenant's in heaven. Our inheritance, friend, is waiting for us in heaven. Look at this. I love this one too. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4. Let's read the first four verses. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, look at this, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Who are you? You who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. Amen. Ready to be revealed in the last time. That's our inheritance. That's what's waiting for us, friend. It's waiting for us. Now, some would ask the question. Number three. Will we know each other in heaven? Do people recognize one another in heaven? The answer is yes, according to the scriptures. Our names are recorded in heaven, and we will be known by our names. Remember Luke chapter 10? Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Here's another example of that. Moses and Elijah were known by Peter, even though they had never seen them before. Let's look at Matthew chapter 17. Verse 3 to 4. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. They knew one another. They knew one another in heaven. Yes, you will know that child that went on before you, that loved one that died before you. You will know them in heaven. You will know them by name. You will know them in heaven. they will know you in heaven. Remember, the rich man recognized Lazarus and Abraham in Luke 16:23 in the afterlife. The rich man knew who Abraham and Lazarus was. Remember, the disciples recognized Jesus after the resurrection, except when their eyes were kept from recognizing him on purpose. Our recognition will be perfect in heaven, and it is not reasonable to think that we know less there than on earth. We will know all things. Right? Yes, you will see your dad once again, Rachel. You will. And you will know him, and he will be perfect. And so will you. We will know one another there. We will. So people ask the question, will we know each other? Yes, everything that the Bible tells us and everything that it illustrates is that we will have perfect knowledge in heaven. We will know one another. The next question is asked, will we be married in heaven? The answer to that is no, because we won't need to be. In Mark 12:18, then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife and dying left no seed, and the second took her and died, neither left he any seed, and the third likewise. And the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall he be of them? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. In heaven, you will not need to be married. Why? Because the Bible says it is not good for man to be alone. But when we are in heaven, and we are perfected in the image of Christ, and we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him, we won't desire marriage any longer. Some people, they think about that, and they say, you know what? I'm going to miss being married. No, you won't. You won't even think like that. The only reason why you think like that now is because that's how God made us, to be married in this life. But when you and I go home to be with the Lord, Jesus will be there. God will be there. God will be there. The Lamb will be the light thereof. Just as Jesus needed no spouse, needed no earthly wife, neither will man or woman need that in heaven. Because they will be as he is, complete, whole. No need for it. And you won't miss it either. You won't miss it because there'll be nothing missing. Because you have to understand, the fullness of Christ is perfection. That's what people don't understand about that. You're thinking from an earthly standpoint. And with a fallen mind, and with only the earnest of our salvation here, you would still long for that. But when you are made perfect, like Christ, and like the angels in heaven in that sense, you will not need that. You will not desire that. Because you'll be perfect. You won't need it. But will you still love your children there and love your family? Yes. Absolutely you will. You'll love your wife there, the person that you, but it won't be your wife any longer because death has parted you and death has ended the covenant. So we will not be married in heaven because there will be no need for it. Because we'll be in perfection. Well, the next question, who lives in heaven? The Bible says the living God lives in heaven. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. God is there. He is called the God of heaven 24 times in the Bible. And the Lord of heaven 4 times in the Bible. Acts 17. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. He is the Lord of heaven. There are angels innumerable there in heaven. The spirits of redeemed men are in heaven. Look at Hebrews. Chapter 12. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Innumerable. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Amen. Saved men in heaven. All saved men and women in heaven. That's who's there. We'll all be one church there in heaven with one divine pastor, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One divine pastor, one shepherd, one flock, one sheep, one shepherd fold. Amen? Jesus is in heaven, like we said in verse number 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. He's in heaven, and he's coming back for us one day. Amen. By the way, Jesus came down from heaven. Look at John 6:38. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Amen. He was received back up to heaven in Mark 16. Jesus is in heaven. Amen. He is in heaven. Jesus is the Lord from heaven. 1 Corinthians 15. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Amen. Good stuff, isn't it? We're not done yet. We got a lot more. So we talked about, will we be married in heaven? What is heaven like? What does the believer have in heaven? Will we know each other in heaven? Who lives in heaven? Did you know that there's a library in heaven? That's the next one. Yes. Heaven has a library. Well, anywhere you have books, you have a library, don't you? Well, heaven has a library, the heavenly library. There are many books in the heavenly library, but there are specific ones that are mentioned to us. There are scrolls and other things, I am sure, that are not mentioned to us. But did you know that, number one, there's a book of tears in heaven? Let's look at Psalm 56. Verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? That is the book of tears. All of our tears. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? God has a book of tears in his library. God's library. Heaven's library. The book that records the believer's trials. This book of tears. It records our trials, our troubles, our sorrows, and our pains. Sometimes you wonder if God is paying attention to what you're going through. Sometimes you and I are tempted. Sometimes you and I are tempted to wonder if God really is paying attention to our trials, our heartaches, our pains, and our suffering. We get full of sorrow and discouragement and depression. And we wonder if God is. Well, here's a verse for you that says that God is recording them in his book. God cares about the sorrow you go through. God cares about the trials that you go through. God cares about the heartache that you go through, and he records it. Put thou my tears. In a bottle. Are they not in thy book? God loves us. God loves you when you're hurting. God loves you when you're sorrowful. God loves you when you're in pain and suffering. When grief has taken your soul. When grief has consumed you. God's library has another book. It's called the Book of Births. Psalm 139. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. God has that book of DNA. He has a book of births. He has the book of that DNA of how he created man. It records the details of a person's physical characteristics when he is born. God has it. God has that book. God pays attention to those things. God takes good records. There's another book in God's library. It's called the Book of Remembrance. Malachi chapter 3. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Yes, God has a book of remembrance that he has written for them that feared the Lord. Them that speak often one to another about the Lord. Them that, and the Lord hearkened. God listens when you talk about him. Then they that feared the Lord, they are those that fear God, God's children that fear him, that respect him, that reverence him, that love him, spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before them, before him for them. Do you understand what that saying is? I suppose that God has his angels. God has his angels record every time you and I speak one to another about the Lord. So right now, as we're doing this Bible study together, God has angels in heaven recording it, and God is listening to us talk about him. That is amazing. All over the world right now, there are people talking about the Lord God. They that fear the Lord, that spake often one to another. God is recording what we are saying about him, and he is listening to this broadcast right now. He is listening to it right now. And he's writing it in his book. It's a book that's being written before him in his library. Now, you might say right about now, Pastor, are you sure about that? Are you sure that's just not being figurative? That's not just a metaphor? Because I don't understand how God could record all of these things and find a place for them for the last 6,000 years. Well, number one, I absolutely believe it. I absolutely believe it. Number two, eternity is nothing like time. We are limited. We are three-dimensional. We are bound by a three-dimensional space. God is not bound. Heaven is not bound. God is not bound. I have limited space, and I have to build more bookshelves or get rid of some books because I'm running out of room. But God is not bound. God is not limited in his space. And in his library, there's a book of remembrance. There's another book in God's library in heaven. It's called the Book of Life. Revelation 20. By the way, let me back up a second. Listen, let me back up a second. I hope that you are keeping the angels busy writing and recording all that you speak one to another about God. I hope you're filling up the space up in heaven. I hope there's a lot of things that you're saying about good things that you're talking about God and talking about his word and talking about Jesus and filling your mind and your heart with the things of God. I hope you're filling up some volumes in heaven. I hope you are. I hope you're filling some books up, friend. Keeping the angels busy. Revelation chapter 20. This library in heaven, verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. By faith I know my name is written down in the book of life. Why? What have I done? Nothing. Jesus did it all. I can do nothing. I did nothing. Jesus did it all. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He was buried and he rose again from the dead. He saved my soul. He changed my life. He died for my sins, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. He paid for my sins. That's why my name's written down. Because of the atonement. He brought me to a place of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He brought me to a place of salvation. He brought me to a place of forgiveness of sins. That's his work. Joe asked the question, Pastor, do we go to heaven right away or do we sleep until the judgment? Joe, the Bible says to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. We go to paradise. Our soul goes to paradise right away. Our body goes into the ground. Our bodies are buried, but our soul goes to be with the Lord. Paul said it very specifically. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. There is no sleeping in that sense. Our bodies sleep, but our souls do not sleep. There's no such thing as soul sleep. There's also the book of the unbeliever's works, as we see here, the book of life. And I saw the dead, both small and great, and the book was opened. that book records that their death, records their sin. Sin of those that were not written. That their names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So that's those are the library books. Those are some of the books that are in heaven. Right? There are books in heaven. Now we're going to talk about a question that you might have, like another question you might have is, what are some of the other names for heaven? Other biblical names? Well, let's cover some of those, because they can be confusing sometimes. If you don't understand the language of the scriptures, sometimes you can be confused as to what they are. That is the second death. The souls of the damned that do not get saved, they go down into hell and they await the judgment. Their body goes into the grave, and God calls their bodies out of the grave to be judged for their works. That's what happens. But their bodies go to the grave. Their souls go to hell. And they await the second death. They await the judgment. But we're talking about heaven today, not hell. So what are some of the other names for heaven? Other biblical names for heaven? How about the third heaven, where God dwells specifically? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. Paul says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up up to the third heaven. Paul calls heaven the third heaven. Right? Paul calls it the third heaven. Paul calls it paradise. In verse number 4, look, we've seen this before. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. By the way, so if it wasn't lawful for Paul to utter those heavenly things, then why do people believe that they're speaking in an unknown tongue like that, in the charismatic tongues, and they're speaking in some angelic tongue when Paul couldn't even utter those words of heaven? Makes no sense. Let's see. The Bible calls it glory, like we talked about earlier, Colossians chapter 3. We're just reviewing some of this stuff. It's good, right? It's good to remember. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Glory. Heaven is called the highest. Look at Luke chapter 2. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest. Heaven's called the highest. Heaven's called the Father's house. John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. God's got one big house. God's got one big house full of a lot of mansions. So when you and I think of a big mansion, man, we know they're big. God's house is everything he owns, which is everything, but proper would be God's throne and his house in the third heaven. Amen. God's house. Father's house. It is called the city of the living God. Hebrews 12. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. That's what heaven is called. It's called the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Amen. The city of the living God. Yeah, unfortunately, guys and gals, I'm sorry. I get people that spam me, like, that hate you. I don't want to get too distracted. But I have had people mail me the most disgusting, vile, and gross things you could ever imagine. They found my old home address. And they mailed a box with a fornication toy. That's the best way I can say it. To my house, where my children could have opened that box, thinking it was a box of books or something. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So, and more disgusting things than that, to be honest with you. Yeah. So, and by the way, that's when I was moving last year, and Satan, man, I was under attack because the devil did not want me to move, and God was blessing me, and God was taking care of my family, and he still is, by the way, taking care of my family and doing, no, that was last year when I was moving. That was last year when I was moving, a year ago. Yep. I had somebody, anyway, I won't even get into it, but let's just keep going. We'll keep going. This is more pleasant. Praise the Lord. We won't let the devil get a victory here. We'll just keep moving. But it's called the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem. Now, here's a good question. This is a good question that people ask that they think about. What in the world is going on in heaven? Well, what in the world is? That's probably not the right way to say that. But what is going on in heaven? We're going to talk about that. What's going on in heaven? What is Jesus doing in heaven? He's enjoying the Father. Proverbs 8:30. I can find Proverbs here for some reason. I lost it. Proverbs 8:30. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Picture Christ, sir. Rejoicing. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. What is Jesus doing in heaven? He's interceding for us. That's what's going on in heaven right now. Jesus, praise the Lord, Jesus is interceding for us in heaven right now. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know why nothing can separate us from the love of God? Look at this. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You want to know why? Because Jesus is in heaven interceding for us. That's why. Hebrews 7:25 says the same thing. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. This is Jesus doing his intercessory work for us. Amen. 1 John. Man, this is some good coffee. I mixed it. It's called James Gang coffee. I mixed it. I mixed this James Gang with this toasted southern pecan coffee. And man, does it taste good. It is really good coffee. I like coffee, by the way. I like making it cold brew, but I didn't have any, so I had to make it in my French pot there. André Bicey's French pot. Oh, that's funny. Anyway. 1 John chapter 2. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. That's some good preaching right there, ain't it? Jesus is overseeing everything that is done today on earth for him. Do you know that? Mark 16, 19 and 20. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Jesus is overseeing it all. He's watching it all. Jesus is in heaven overseeing the churches. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 22, 23. Look at this. It says here, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's what's going on in heaven right now. Jesus is working. He's preparing a place for us, like we talked about in John 14. Waiting for a second coming in Hebrews chapter 10. What else is going on? They're being comforted. What are Christians doing? They're waiting for a second coming. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at this. What are Christians doing in heaven, right? What are Christians doing in heaven? They're resting from their earthly labors. You want to know what Christians are doing? Revelation chapter 14. This is what the saints are doing that have went on before us. Revelation chapter 14. Verse number 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. They're resting. Heaven is a place of rest. You know what else they're doing in heaven? What do Christians do in heaven right now? Revelation chapter 4, verse number 10 and 11. They're praising God. That's what they're doing. And the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You know what else they're doing in heaven? They're being comforted. Luke 16. Luke 16, you know what they're doing? They're being comforted in heaven, friend. Luke 16, 25. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Lazarus was comforted. God's people in heaven are comforted. They're in absolute comfort. Right? Right? They're being comforted in heaven. You know what? Here is a time of sorrow. There is a time of comfort. They're being comforted. They're enjoying paradise. Luke 23, verse number 43. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. They're enjoying that paradise. Work will be in heaven too. but it won't feel like work. They'll be serving the Lord in heaven, but they'll do it with a perfect heart. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. You know what else they're doing right now? They're waiting for the completion of God's plan. They're waiting for God to be finished with his work. Revelation 6, 9 through 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them, that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Just rest, children, just rest. They're given a white robe and told, just rest. Let me tell you something. Be very clear about this. People that go to heaven do not miss you. Here's why. Because God is there. Here's the other reason why. There's no time in eternity. When they see you again, it will be as if they last looked upon you. Because they will turn around as you tap them on the shoulder or they tap you. So an entrance, watch this. Let me show you this. This is really cool. Here it is. You ready? For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. An entrance shall be ministered unto you. So there is a procession when you go home. Precious in the sight of the Lord the death of his saints. Is the death of his saints. So when you go home, there's an entrance that shall be ministered unto you abundantly. All that ever knew you, that are in heaven, when you come, it will be like the last moment they saw you. Only with joy, because they shall never depart from you again. So Rachel Bicey, your dad in heaven, when you see him, he won't have missed you, and you'll be perfect. You won't have missed him either. Because when you go home, it'll be like you never left. It'll be like you never left. That entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. When your mom, Rachel, goes home to see your dad, it'll be like she never left. They're waiting in heaven. What else are they doing? They're waiting for their resurrected bodies. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 through 16. Look at this. They're waiting for a perfect body. They have a spiritual body at that point. Those that are in heaven now. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Talking about their bodies sleeping in the ground. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain of the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. They're waiting for their body. They're waiting for it. Patricia Mauser asked a question about her father that was unsaved. I believe the only way you'll see your unsaved father is a judge against him, as a judgment against him at the judgment seat. At the white throne judgment. Patricia. Those that are lost, they have no hope when they die. I don't have any joy in saying that. It's a very sad and solemn thing. But it's a very true thing that they have no hope. That's why we have to preach the gospel to everyone. That's why we need a zeal for everyone. That's why we need a zeal to preach the gospel, to warn men to flee from the wrath to come, to warn men to be saved. They observe. What else are they doing in heaven? They're observing Jesus' eternal glory. John chapter 17. Let's see, where am I at here? John 17, 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. That is a powerful verse right there, friend. I'll read that again to you. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. We're going to behold Jesus' glory when we get to heaven. I never give anybody false hope and tell them that maybe they were saved at the last minute. I don't do that to anybody. And you have no reason to believe that he would be. I never tell people that. I think it's a very awful thing to try to persuade people in that way. I absolutely do. People say that about movie stars that die all the time. Well, maybe in their last minute they did this. No. Not likely. They're learning. You know what else they're doing in heaven? You'll be doing in heaven too. Learning and discussing the mysteries. 2 Corinthians 12. Look at this. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Learning mysterious things, right? learning and discussing mysterious things. Pretty exciting, isn't it? You know what else they'll be doing? Praising and talking about the Lord. Psalm 145. Verses 1 through 11, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Amen. That's forever and ever, O Lord. He'll rejoice over people being saved on earth. Look at Luke 15. That's another thing we'll do in heaven. Verse number 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Here's another one. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. Well, aborted babies never sinned. Somebody asked the question about that. Babies go to heaven. They never sin. All right. Lastly, what should be the Christian's attitude towards heaven? What should we now, while on this earth, what should we think about? What should our attitude be? Number one, we should set our minds on heaven. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We're to set our minds, our affections, our minds on things in heaven. Our mind, our affections are to be set on things in heaven. Verse number 5, we should live holy lives. Our mindset should be to live a holy life fit for heaven. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. First Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. That's what you and I are supposed to do. That's how our mindset is supposed to be. We should lay up treasures in heaven. Whoops, Matthew 6. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. Our treasures should be in heaven. 1 Timothy 6, 19. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. We should act like citizens of heaven and pilgrims on this earth. Hebrews 11. That's what we should do. We should be acting like citizens of heaven. Now, verse 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. That's what we're supposed to be doing, friend. That's what our mindset about towards heaven should be. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We should be certain of heaven. 1 John. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You ought to know, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Amen. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. This is one of those evidences of salvation, that God answers our prayers as well. But what he's saying here is that you ought to know that for sure. How do I know that for sure? Well, look at it. This is a record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, when God's Spirit comes in, he gives us those evidences. Now, we believe it by faith, but we know the evidences of the Spirit of God in us. Sometimes we can be blinded by that, and our assurances have to grow. And assurance is not the same as eternal life. You're to know it by growing in grace and learning and growing, and God will assure you the closer you get to him. The more you follow him, God will build your assurance. You can have doubts about your salvation. That doesn't mean you're not saved. Salvation and assurance are two different things. Assurances will come and go. Salvation stays the same. But God's Spirit dwelling in us will always bear witness. His Spirit always bears witness. I didn't say in your feelings, in fact, in word, in deed, and in truth, his Spirit shows that he is with us, reproving us, teaching us, guiding us, keeping us from evil, strengthening us. He is the earnest of our inheritance. He's the down payment. And he shows us by his grace, by the change that he wrought in our souls, by the work of the Holy Ghost, by the continuing of grace in our hearts, by the manifestation, the growing of that grace. He shows us, not by your supreme confidence in him, because that will go up and down, by God's grace. your assurances will go up and down, but your Savior will remain the same. That's why Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider Christ, my friends. Always consider Christ. When my assurances go up and down, my Savior stays the same. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He will always, always be there for us. All right, everybody, that's it for today. I'm going to play a song. If you want to say hi, I'll give you a second to say hi. More than a second.
Thanks to God for boundless mercy, from thy gracious throne above. Thanks for every need provided, from the fullness of thy love. Thanks for daily toil and labor, and for rest when shadows fall. Thanks for love of friend and neighbor, and thy goodness unto all. Thanks for thorns as well as roses.
Thanks for weakness and for health.
Thanks for clouds as well as sunshine. Thanks for poverty and wealth.
Thanks for pain as well as pleasure.
All thou sendest day by day.
And thy word, our dearest treasure. Shedding light upon our way. Share our daily bread. Thanks for hours of sweet communion, when by thee our souls are fed. Thanks for grace in time of sorrow, and for joy and peace in thee. Thanks for hope today to
Amen. Thanks to God. That's what we always ought to be giving, is thanks to God and being grateful people. All right. Now, you pray for us, please. We've got a busy time coming up, and things are kind of crazy. Pray for the Lord to continue to provide for our needs. Pray for all the evangelism that is coming, because there's a ton of it coming our way. And pray for all of our, like I said, all of our needs to be met for every, we have, I think four ladies in our church with child. I think it's four. Maybe it's three. I don't know. I lose track. But anyway, we do. All right. So pray for us. Pray for those ladies as they're with child, and, pray that, the Lord would bless them. And by the way, pray for us that God would give us a meeting house, because we, and I mean, give it to us. I don't mean pay for it. All right. So, pray for the Lord to provide us a meeting house, because we're running out of room. Everybody keeps having babies, praise the Lord, and families are getting bigger, and more people have come, and we're running out of room. So we're going to need more room. So you pray for us that God would provide that for us and provide us the right place for that. And also, if the Lord leads you, if you'd like to give to our ministry, you can mail us something. Our address is 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. If you'd like to PayPal us, you can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com or pastorcooley@icloud.com. Or if you'd like, you can do cryptocurrency, Coinbase, all that kind of stuff. Venmo, I just use that to pay for a bed, and all that kind of stuff. Those different things. So you, if the Lord leads you, you pray about that. If not, that's okay too. We will be back on Wednesday, Lord willing, and so pray for us. Thank you. God bless you all. Take care. I'm going to go do some walking and praying before supper and get some work done outside, Lord willing, and all that good stuff. It was good to be with you on here. And I'll probably edit this on sermon audio, so the first 15, 20 minutes of songs are off of there. So if you listen to it on sermon audio, you won't hear any of the music, but that's okay. I kind of edit it to make it a little bit easier for people in case they don't want to listen to it and all that good stuff. Anyway, God bless you all. Take care. We'll see you real soon, Lord willing.